Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Reborn Identity.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Lord, I come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise. I bow before your throne with the worries of my day. For I know that you will hear me when I kneel.
Identity. This is Vivian Kelly. Welcome back again. My co-host, Ruthie Munoz, is enjoying a time away with her daughter, Paige, as she celebrates her graduation day. Paige is graduating from high school today, and I'm excited for her. I'm really, she's an amazing young lady. Of course, she has an amazing mom. And, you know, out there shouting out to Paige, congratulations for this wonderful milestone in your young life. We have a great deal for you listeners today. As you know, we have Angelo De Geer, and of course the title today is Young But Not Foolish. And the reason I chose that specific title was because I come around so many young people in universities and colleges, and they're on in a crossroad, and they are going through much more than we did when we were their age. We thought we had it bad. They have so many avenues to choose from, and yet some are choosing the path less taken, and that's Angelo Deguerre. He'll be on tonight, later on tonight. Excuse me. I'm just going to be checking in and letting you know what has been happening and transpiring in my life. As we know, last week I went to a series, and we were off last week, but I went through a series called America's Idol, and I had a blast. I have to tell you, I had a blast. Now, prior to going to that, this event, I actually was finishing up 36 days of fasting, praying, in combination of both. You know, I did a cleanse for 10 days, then I did the Daniel fast. Now, on my 36th day, I was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, now what? You know, because he's really working on my attitude, and you know, my husband could tell you on a good day I'm really good, and on a bad day I'm not so good. And, you know, bless his heart, because he has a lot of patience. At the same time, I have patience too, you know, and a marriage takes two. And the Lord has been working. So I was asking the Lord, you know, what next? And unbelievable, when you ask God to show you something, or when you ask him a question, he will answer you. And sometimes he might not answer you immediately, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to answer you. Well, I received an email from Henrietta, a good friend of mine in ministry, and she invited me to America's Idol. And I'm like, oh, okay, what does America's Idol mean? Well, not only did I enjoy the whole entire Friday and Saturday, unfortunately, Sunday I had, of course, a wedding to attend. And then, unfortunately, I'm very excited for the newlyweds, Mr. and Mrs. Cologne. However, I was really impressed with the message that was given. And, you know, people say, do we need to really change? Do we really need to focus on changing? Well, we in ourselves cannot change. We cannot do anything. But through Christ, we can do all things. And, you know, the simplest things can become our idols. And Pastor Ivor Myers, I met him. I was fortunate to meet him and his lovely wife, Pastor Dwayne Lemon, Peter Chung, singer and songwriter Neville Peter, and his lovely wife, and so many saints who were there enjoying the same event as I was. And it was more about reformation. And the Holy Spirit has been moving in me. And in fact, I finished writing one of the chapters in my next book coming out, and my husband says, where is this coming from? And I'm like, well, you know what? It's about life, and there's some things that I have mentioned to him and things that I have experienced. But what really was fascinating for me was that as I was asking God, now what? Because prior to, the Lord has been, and the Holy Ghost has been really leading me to eat better, to exercise, and which I haven't been doing as much as I should, but I have been doing some. But he's been leading me to change my diet, to change less sugar, no sugar. In fact, I'm not eating sugar, but he has been really leading me to change my lifestyle. Why? Because my body is the temple where Jesus and the Holy Spirit resides. So if I'm eating junk food, I'm going to think junk. And I'm not going to have the brain power, nor will I have the discernment that comes with taking care of your temple. And so as I am asking God this, I go Friday night, and Pastor Dwayne Lemon, which, by the way, he will be on our show later on in the fall, and I'm excited about that. He was talking about reformation, how we need to consider, you know, the health reform. We hear that in the political arena, health reform. Well, health reform, I believe in health reform in the fact that we need to be watching what we eat. Temperance is very important. I actually learned that word when I was at a potluck, and there was two slices of cake. And one was a little bit bigger than the other one, and I just didn't know. I don't want them to give me the bigger slice. So I said, you know, is this one for me so that, you know, they can cut it because I really don't like cake. And the lady, without, I don't know why she said what she said, but I'm glad that she did. And I remember clearly who she was, and I thank her. She comes up to me, she goes, exercise temperance. And I said, what's that? What's temperance? And so I said, well, okay, so which one is it? She goes, just take the small one. I go, okay, so I just ate half of the small one and then I threw the rest away. But then I had to go home and research what temperance is. You know, everything in moderation, but then also consider what you're putting in your body. So since then, I have been really working on that and eating raw, more raw, and getting away from the breads and the sugars and the fried. So Friday night was, I'm going to tell you, it was more of an amazing experience. I never thought. I went, and I'm going, well, maybe we'll come back tomorrow, maybe we won't. I was elated because it was as if the Holy Ghost was saying, now you know where you need to be heading. Because, you know, as gluttony, you know, if you notice, America, we're overweight. We're overweight. We're one of the, I think we're the only nation or one of the nations that really we have overweight people. And you have, you know, everything is, it's gluttony and unfortunate. I hear people telling me, oh, I'm on a diet. Great, great, wonderful. Oh, I'm eating salads. Yes. And then you go see them putting a cup of ranch dressing on there and wondering, where is the fat content coming from? Well, it's what we are putting in our body. And, you know, sometimes people tell me, oh, you can't try almonds. You know, well, I had a personal trainer, who she was telling me, count your nuts, literally, because each almond was 45 calories. And I'm like going, wow. So Friday night was amazing, and then Saturday was the icing on the cake. And it was about what we expose ourselves to, and that was with Pastor Ivor Myers. And what I thought was, kind of like, okay, it's just a legalistic mentality. Now, mind you, Jesus is not legalistic. He's realistic, okay? He wants us to be able to worship him in the capacity that is perfect, okay? And I know people say, oh, well, we're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. Well, I have to say that there are a lot of information in the Bible about perfection. And we need to be able to see what our five senses is bringing into our body. For example, if you are listening to some, I have heard some songs out there that are heavy metal, a rock, even some R&B that, you know what they're talking about. Now, if you're trying to abstain from any activity outside of marriage, I suggest don't be listening to some of the songs that are talking explicitly about doing things that you shouldn't. Because whatever we allow to come in, we become that portal. And we open up a portal that is going to, and you know, because of my background, I know that we have to be very careful what we allow in our system, in our mind, in our body. And so listening to the music, what kind of music, and how the music has, you know, Satan's music has infiltrated in a lot of the Christian songs that we're listening to. And he's not, Pastor Ivor Myers is not saying, I say this. He was using biblical information where I had to, I mean, I have about 4 or 5 pages just on what I heard. Because it's like, wow, it's amazing. So between what we eat, what we hear, what we expose ourselves to, will determine what kind of life you're leading. you know, I sometimes, you know, I hear saints, well, believers that are listening to junk, exposing themselves to junk. And you cannot differentiate between a believer and someone that is a non-believer. Now, the reborn identity, we're not perfect. We are learning. However, we're learning that there is a character that needs to be mimicked, or a character that needs to be followed, or a character that we need to live by, and that is Jesus Christ. Christ is the only character that we should follow, not anyone else, no one on the media, no one in the family, but someone that died on the cross for you and I. And you know what? It doesn't matter where you're at in your life right now. You can have that very same character just by asking the Lord to come into your life, by confessing your sins to Him. Remember, we're not talking about going to a person and confessing your sins. We're talking about you personally going, open your Bible. If you find a Bible, go into the internet. You're on the internet, most likely listening to the show. Look up 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. Once you decide to get rid of whatever you have in your life and you really repent from it, email me. Let me know where you're at. There are a lot of people there are wondering why the reborn identity. Well, guess what? The only thing that we can take to heaven is our character. That's the only thing we can take to heaven. And let me tell you, I didn't ask for this ministry. God placed it upon me when I was like asking, Lord, I have Hold Your Peace Empowerment Ministries, but it seems like that's not enough. So, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when He put in my heart a reborn attitude, a reborn identity, follow my footsteps, that's when I realized, Lord, these are the last days, and we need to reflect Jesus Christ. You're either in one or the other camp. You're either in Satan's camp or you're in God's camp, in Jesus Christ's camp. You can't be in both. You can't be a neutral person. It's a war. And the war is for your mind. But thank God, Jesus came to die so that we have that opportunity to find salvation in Him. You know, we die daily, every single day. We must die daily. Our flesh must die. So, and that's figuratively speaking, not talking about suicide or anything like that, just a disclaimer there. For those that do not understand, let me know. Email me. I would love to answer your questions. But we need to realize that as time closes, we must be a reflection of Jesus Christ. We must be that beacon of light that no one else can see unless they open up their hearts through the Holy Spirit. And you know, as I said before, we might be the only Jesus that someone will ever see. Like the hymn that I, the Christian song that I heard when I was a little girl. So keep in mind that there is a change. Change is in the air. And if you are motivated and you feel like you want to have a challenge in your life and you want to change the way you eat, the way you feel, the way you act, we have a challenge starting with Cassio Jones. Cassio Jones has been seen on 3ABN, and he's a trainer. We are starting a challenge for 9 weeks for vegetarians and non-vegetarians. Anyone is welcome. You can actually let me know via email that you might be interested, and I'll send you the information. We start on June the 10th. Between June the 10th and June the 11th, we will do the prelims. Between June the 10th and June the 15th, we will do all the necessary things so people can have the time to order their books and start blogging. You have a community of people that are going to be lifting you up in prayer. It's very confidential. You don't have to give us your name, but it would be nice to monitor what you're experiencing as we start this challenge. If you really are interested in starting this challenge, changing your eating, changing, you know, because of our eating, we could change so much. I must say to you that for the 36 days, I was really doing really great. And then I stopped, of course, in the 36th day. And I need to continue, not just going back to the old. And I haven't gone back to the old. If you really want a change of life, get on that challenge with us. And you can email me at DIVIONNE at The Reborn Identity. That's Vivion at The Reborn Identity. Once again, VIVI again, ONNE at The Reborn Identity if you need some more information. Now, enough about what I have spoken to you. If you are ever in the area and they're showing, or if you go into America's Idols, look up America's Idols and you can pull up Pastor Ivor Myers and Dwayne Lemon, Pastor Dwayne Lemon, you will be able to see where there might be at in throughout the United States, and you can actually attend. I tell you, think about it, pray about it, and know that God is leading you should you attend, because it is an eye-opener. Now we're going to get into prayers, prayer requests. If you have any special prayer requests, please email us at prayers@thereborn.identity.com. Again, prayers@thereborn.identity.com. We're lifting up Peter Chung. He's a brother in Christ who became ill during the America's Idol towards the end, the couple of days towards the end. So we're lifting up Peter Chung, that he may continue to have an excellent recovery. He took ill, as I said, and it was pretty strong. It was a pretty strong virus that he had. Diane is asking that we continue to pray for the leaders that are at the event that's taking place in Tennessee in the evangelistic series. So please, let's put her in prayer, as we know that Satan likes to attack all these events that are reaching out to people. I'm also asking for our listeners to, personally asking our listeners to lift my father and the rest of the siblings in prayer. My grandmother has been battling for the longest, and we're ready for her to leave now, and we want her to be at peace. So please pray that the transition and all the things that come with the passing of a loved one would go smooth. And, you know, intellectually we know that we desire that, but emotionally we become a basket case. So please put my family in prayer. And also my grandmother, as she takes this journey into her sleep. So with that said, I will open up prayer. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, first and foremost, forgive me if I have done anything that will hinder these prayers to you. Lord, as I ask you, forgive me for any seen and unseen sin that I may have caused upon anyone or any situation. Lord, I lift Peter Chung at the foot of the cross. Thank you so much for bringing him through this virus, and that he is recovering, that he may continue in his recovery. Lord, also I place Diane at the foot of the cross because of the fact that you know the challenges that they are coming up against. These challenges are pretty strong. But you are stronger, and you are a creator. So thank you, Lord, already. And also, Lord, I'm personally asking you to take care of my father and my family members, as we know the time is upon us where you will call her to her final sleep, to call Grandma to her final sleep. And Lord, I forgot to mention a praise and also a continual prayer for Derek. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing him to get better. And thank you for allowing him to find a place to live. Now, Lord, that you may open those paths so that he may have and achieve what he needs to live comfortably in his home. All these things, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, as we know, I am excited for tonight's guest. And if you happen to be the third caller, all you have to do is call in, say your name. We won't put you on the radio, but we'll just put you on our list to mail out. We will give you a gift. And you can choose from our library of books that we do have. And I believe we will have some Pastor Ivor Myers DVD, The Sonic Warfare, or Pastor Dwayne Lemon, The Avenues of Your Soul. So that's something that you might want to consider. If you're interested, please be the third caller, and you can call us at 818-572-8027. Again, 818-572-8027. If you need to get a hold of me regarding some of the information that you've heard regarding the challenge and also the prayers, just whichever one you use will be fine and not a problem. Well, let me introduce you a young man, and I'm going to tell you how I met this young man. I haven't met him physically as of yet, but I've met his father, and, you know, it's amazing when a father comes up and says, "You need to meet my kid. Oh, you need to meet my kid. My kid is awesome." And, you know, as casting, you know, when I do casting for youth or for young people for a movie or before for commercials, and now, you know, sometimes for movies and commercials, I kind of tend to go, okay, let me meet your child and then go from there. And it's an awkward situation because sometimes parents tend to look at their children kind of differently, which is fine because I do the same thing. And but this gentleman, he was just, you need to meet him, you need to meet him, you need to meet him. His name is Joe DeGere, and brother Joe DeGere. And I said, okay, fine. We never got to meet. However, he was telling me he's going to theology school. He's going to become a preacher. He's already working in so many things for the Lord that I was like, okay, this is pretty interesting. Well, he wasn't lying. And he wasn't making it all up. And I know he wouldn't be lying, but sometimes we tend to look at things when we're parents differently, as I stated. And let me tell you about Angela DeGere. And then after that, we will follow with a song by Angela Bryant Brown from blogtalkradio.com/lifehappens. Angela DeGere is young but not foolish. Just a little bit about this young man. He was born in the 1990s. However, it was not until he turned 12 years of age that he found his purpose in life. Now, it's hard for us adults to find a purpose in life. But he already knew at the age of 12 what he wanted to do in his life. His background, he grew up in Harlem with his family. Needless to say, there were many influences, some positive and most negative. I should know, we come from the same neighborhoods. There's Spanish Harlem, and then there's the Bronx, and then the rest of the four boroughs. It's not an easy place to be. Influences can be from gangs to even more severe. It was during these times in this young boy's life that Angela decided that he wanted to become a rapper. Often, one could find Angelo making beats on the lunchroom tables with his friends, freestyling about sex, money, and power. Actually, it's not much different than what young boys today think about. Life was not easy, straddling the fence between right and wrong. You see, Angelo grew up Seventh-day Adventist, yet he would try so hard to fit in the world that he just didn't belong in. That means trying to be something that he's not. Although he attempted to be a rapper, he was never good at freestyling, talking about things that he would never probably have experienced, like drugs, sex, and power. And he didn't even think about that. That wasn't something that he wanted to be thinking about ever doing. Although he was good at rhyming his words, he knew that he had a purpose. Turning point in his life was influenced by his English teacher. She made him write an essay. He says, and I quote, "I remember my English teacher had us write a poem for Black History Month. I didn't do the assignment, but after much convincing from a friend of mine, I decided to do it. It turns out she entered his poem in a poetry contest and was the only student in his classroom who won the prize." Isn't that amazing? Look at how God is. So this is, he didn't want to do it. Yes, he did. By the influences of his friends. Wow, God is amazing. Angela praises God for taking him this far as he learns more in his theological studies at Oakwood University. Before I introduce you to Angela DeGeer, I would like to play a couple of songs for you, and that would be Angela Brown, Just a Closer Walk with You, and remember, she has her shows off on Wednesday evenings at the Blog Talk Radio. Life happens. So, you know, you can check her out. You can also email her and let her know what you think. Here it is, Angela Bryant Brown, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Well, we're having some technical difficulties with Angela Bryant Brown, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. However, we're going to go ahead and bring on Neville Peter. He's going to be our guest in the near future. And please enjoy this rendition of Great is Thy Faithfulness by Peter Neville, or Neville Peter. Thank you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not your compassion, they fail not. Morning by morning, new mercies are You're a pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Your own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Your blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Oh, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your.
How amazing is great is thy faithfulness. That was Brother Neville Peter. You can visit his website at www.nevillepeter.com for more information on his latest release. And again, is Neville Peter, NevilleePeter.com. As I was saying prior to our music selection, I was going to bring Angelo Deguerre, and I am so blessed to have him on the line. Please allow me to introduce theology major Angelo Deguerre. Angelo, I know that you are there. How are you doing this wonderful evening? Hello?
Yes, I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty well.
Oh, great, great. Thank you so much for being part of our show. As we know that the Reborn Identity is about reflecting Jesus Christ in our daily lives. And I just want to thank you for not only being on our show, but being a beacon for those young people who are being tossed and trashed by Satan right now in their daily life. Oh, I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. But anyway, okay. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Give us your testimony. It's amazing that you are even in theology. There was a report about the individuals that are going into theology, and they're getting less and less, and the ages are getting higher and higher, and then there are not that many young people. Tell us what. Give us your testimony. And you know what? Before we continue, did you want to lower your internet or your...
Oh, definitely, yeah, I'll do that. Hold on.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, just while he's doing that, just briefly, if you are tuning in right now, we have Angelo Deguerre, and he is a theology major at Oakwood University, a prestigious university, God-blessed university, bringing out some wonderful individuals from that university that are touching the lives of many. And seeing true conversion, we have so many universities. I have a love for Oakwood. I never attended Oakwood, but my dream was to attend Oakwood. And the Lord didn't have that for me. However, he has something different for me. So I just thank you, Angelo, for being again on our show. So if you're tuning in, this is Angelo Daguerre with the title Young But Not Foolish. Angelo.
Yes.
Hello, are you there? Okay. Well,
yes,
I just wanted to know. Good. Give us your testimony and tell us how you were. Just give us your testimony here because, you know, it's amazing how God is using this kid from Harlem to making a difference.
Well, my testimony is that, you know, me growing up in Harlem, you know, I did, you know, I was falling into the same trap of, you know, just trying to, you know, fit in. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to fit in. So I did everything I could to try to fit in with my environment. Most of the kids in my grade, they wanted to be freestyle rappers. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a freestyle rapper. But I was never really good at doing it because, you know, as you said earlier, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. I had Adventist parents. And, you know, I just wasn't good at, you know, freestyling about things that I would never do, things that I couldn't even imagine in my mind. You know, so it all started with a teacher. My teacher's name was Ms. Hunter, and she introduced me to poetry. And ever since being introduced to poetry, I was able to use the talent, use that gift of poetry for so much more. I was the only person in my class that actually won the poetry contest in which she entered my poem in. And from there on, I started to do community service. I joined different projects. Like, I joined the Respect Project, and that was a project in which we would do ministry. We'd do poems for, you know, we'd do poems, songs, dances, and things of that nature. All the arts, you know, just to encourage people in nursing homes, homeless shelters, schools, and things of that nature. And the turning point in my life was when I was performing a poem at this homeless shelter, and to my surprise, I saw a fellow student, a fellow, I can't say colleague, but he was in high school with me at the time, and he was homeless. He was homeless. He was a
wow.
He was a homeless kid, but this kid was not just any kid. He had a 4.0 average. This boy studied. He worked hard. And I was looking at myself, and I said, oh, my goodness. How is it that I make excuses for why I can't turn in my homework on time? I'm doing this. I'm doing that, you know. But, you know, this kid right here, he's homeless, you know. He didn't grow up with his parents. He didn't grow up with anything, but he's able to be goal-oriented. He's able to set a high goal and actually reach it, you know, and I said, I want that for myself. I want that drive. I want that motivation, you know. Prior to this, I was always like a C student, you know, and I would always use my extracurricular activities as an excuse. But from then on, I started to, you know, go into not only continuing community service and stuff like that, but I also started to get involved in my church more. I started to get better grades and everything. And slowly but surely, God took me from doing spoken word to delivering his spoken word.
Amen. Amen. See, by seeing and how our environment does influence what we do, you, by seeing this young man who was in the same in school as you are, was homeless. And he actually was able to carry a 4.0, and you kept on putting excuses. And it's like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I have a home. I have my parents, you know. So I believe that, you know, sometimes we need to look around our environment and see how blessed we are. You know, it's our counter-blessings, you know.
Yeah.
It's counter-blessings. Well, so your testimony basically is that you were on the wrong path, and God saw that. And he allowed you to, by putting the right people, he brought you back. Because you could have gotten lost. Now, you know, Harlem is pretty tough. the Bronx, where I come from, South Bronx, it's not the best place in the world. And you can have, you could have ended up in statistics. You're either 6 feet under, dying in a clinic with AIDS, or you are in, you know, extra activities that are not suitable for anyone. And yet the Lord has taken you out of Harlem, and now you're at Oakwood University. Now, let me ask you a question. How did you know that you should be in ministry? I mean, I've met some people that thought they should be in ministry, and they start going to theology, and then in somewhere in the middle, they're like, wait a minute, this is not what the Lord asked me to do. I should be a medical missionary. How did you know?
Well, it's a funny story. You know, when I started to get involved in my church, when I started to get more involved in my church, I started to do poetry. And all the churches, like, around my neighborhood really knew me for poetry, you know, and everything. So one day I was with my church and everything, and they wanted to appoint me as the assistant AY leader. So I accepted it, and it was, you know, a very demanding position. And I went to meetings and things of that nature. And through that, they also had me go to the Bronx Manhattan Federation meetings. And as I did those meetings,
Bronx Manhattan Federation meetings.
Yes, I
went to Bronx Manhattan Seventh Adventist School, so I know about Bronx Manhattan. That's why I was like, oh, really? I didn't know that. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so they had me go to the Bronx Manhattan Federation meetings, and because I was the assistant AY leader, the AY leader really, you know, she just had me go to the meetings and had me report to her. So they needed the AY leaders of each church to do, like, they were having like a crusade where they were having them preach. You know, so each person would preach a night, you know, from one AY leader from each church. So they appointed me to preach, and I was like, you know, I was scared, but, you know, I had a month to prepare, and I said, okay, Lord, you know what, use me, you know, and I was just praying every day, and I was just allowing the Lord to use me, writing down, you know, opening up my Bible, studying the scripture, seeing what I'm going to speak about and everything. And, like, through that experience, I started to really, really, really get close to God in a way that I couldn't even explain it to you. It was a very spiritual experience. And when I preached that day, I was going to preach. Matter of fact, before I even preached, it was 2 weeks before I started to preach, there were three different people. Three people that came to me, and they said, you know, you should be a pastor. And these weren't just people I knew. These were random people. One was a park cleaner. The second one was a teacher. And the last one was a pastor himself, you know. And the park cleaner, I met him through, we were playing tennis and everything. And I was playing with the PAL, the Police Athletic League. And after we finished playing tennis, he came to me, and he came to the group, and he started speaking to each and every one of us. And then he came to me, I started having a conversation with him, and then he was like, you know, you should be a pastor. And I said, wow, that's crazy you say that, because I'm actually going to be doing a sermon, you know, in a few days, you know. And he said, yeah, I can see it in you, man. You're going to be a pastor, you know. And that wasn't enough. You know, 3 days later, I had my teacher, you know, she always loved me from poetry and everything. I was sharing a poem with her, and she said, you're going to be a pastor one day. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
You know, you're the second person. You're the second person who told me this. You know, what do you think? She said, I can see it in you. I can see it in you. You're going to be a pastor one day. And the last one was just the most shocking. But this time, he had reason to say you're going to be a pastor, because I was actually reciting the Dr. King speech, and I was doing an oratorical contest. So I had to memorize the whole Dr. King speech, which that was amazing in itself. But I'm doing it over, you know, in front of the teacher's class, you know, just trying to, you know, memorize it and everything. And what happened was, this man, he said, you know what? you're going to be a pastor. And, you know, I don't know what he was doing in my school, but he was a pastor himself. But I didn't know that. And I said, you're the third person who told you this. How do you know? He says, I can see it in you. You're going to be a pastor one day. And I was like, wow. I said, but nah, you have to give me something more. Everybody's telling me that. He paused and stopped and says, I don't think you're going to be a pastor. I know you're going to be a pastor. I'm
wow.
a minister myself. You know, and at that moment, I was like, wow. And I prayed, and the Lord just said in my heart, like, you know, this is the path to go. And I was like, wow, you know, and it just changed my life from there.
Isn't God amazing how he places people? And before I came back to the Lord, before I came in 2004 and accepted him completely for myself, people were just saying, there's a difference in you. I mean, because I already started, my heart was already breaking down, and it was like the stony heart was little by little, and people were just random people.
Mm-hmm.
One lady came up to me and she says, you're supposed to live your name. And I'm like, I'm supposed to live my name. She goes, your name symbolizes who your God is. And I go, okay, something like that. And I go, okay. And she goes, what is your name? And I go, you don't know my name and you're telling me this. And she goes, it's just, and I go, my name is Grace. And she goes, I understand that. I'm like, oh, that is kind of weird. And I never saw her again. And,
wow.
And then I realize now what grace means, because for the longest I hated the name Grace. I hated it, and I use it, but now I understand what's behind that name. But, you know, it's funny how people are placing your life to give you inspiration, to give you kind of direction. Now, whether it was from God or not, I just say, Lord, if it was from you, blessed be your name. If it's not yours, blessed be your name anyhow, because, you know, but you, God places people in your path that can see something. There's a change. Now, what inspired you to pursue evangelism? Because, you know, ministry and evangelism are not the same, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing evangelistic work. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm doing pastoral evangelism. Well, the thing that inspired me to pursue was the fact that, you know, when I came to Oakwood and everything, so I was like, you know what, I feel the Lord's presence, I feel that you want me to do this, I'm going to go. So with my teacher, there was a teacher I had, his name was Dr. Allen. And Dr. Allen, he was our teacher for Intro to Christian Ministry. And he said one day to the class, he said, you know what, today we're going to be talking about our getting an experience, you know. You have to ask God for a test. You have to see if God called you or if you called yourself. So he asked all of us, you know, to ask God for a test. He said, this week I've been fasting and praying about this. I want you guys to, you know, pray and ask the Lord, you know, to show you a sign that, you know, he's called you to ministry, you know, and that you're not just doing this, you know, because this is a hard work. And he was saying, like, you know, how many people, you know, they think they could be pastors and they just go from there and, you know, they end up messing up the lives of so many people because they were never called to a work
mm-hmm.
that they wanted to do in themselves. And so
mm-hmm.
I prayed and I said, Lord, I want you to do something for me, Lord. I said, show me a sign. And I was thinking of a sign, and they were having a drawing. They were having a drawing for a new ESP study Bible. And this was for the freshman boys' dorm. And I was in the freshman boys' dorm, and they were having it, and I said, okay, Lord, I want that ESP study Bible. Now, they were giving free. They were giving three ESP study Bibles, one to each floor. And there's three floors on in Holland Hall. And there's about 100 boys on each floor. So there was really like a 1 in 100 chance that I would be able to win this Bible. So I was praying. I was like, Lord, if you want me to be a minister, if you want me to continue to continue in this path, Lord. I want that Bible. And lo and behold, that week, the week of the drawing, I came to church and everything, and they said, Angelo, you won, you know. And my mentor, his name is Ephraim Anderson, he handed me my ESV study Bible. And not only did he hand it to me, there was also engraved in it my name. So when they did the drawing and they found out, you know, they found that I won, they even went further enough to put my name on it. So I was like, praise God. And I know that it was a gift from God. So that's
amazing.
My inspiration. That's what inspired me to just continue and pursue that no matter what happens, you know, no matter what the devil does, no matter where I'm placed, no matter what the devil tries to do to discourage me, you know, I will pursue ministry because I have the confirmation, I have the gift that God has given.
Amazing. And it's his word. Literally,
yes.
It's his word. And, you know, you know, God is amazing. He is. And, you know, we're living in perilous times, very perplexed, especially for people your age, for young adults, young but not foolish. How can, and this is a question that just came to me, how can young people stop being foolish? What do they need to do? I mean, there's some people out there that by the time they reach our age, they have lived a life that a 50-year-old or 60-year-old has already lived. What can you give them? What kind of inspiration can you give them?
Well, in my 19 years of life, I can say that I've come to realize that knowledge is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. Many a times, you know, you have parents that they raise you rightly, you know. They teach you the way of the Lord. They teach you everything. And, you know, it is up to you. It's your decision to either follow Christ or not to follow Christ. I've come to realize that the very trick or deception that was used in the beginning at the garden, the devil still uses here on this earth today. And he tries to show us that, you know, you don't have to make a decision, or your decision doesn't have to be in God's will. In the beginning, you had two decisions. You had the tree of life and all the trees that were permitted by God for you to eat, and then you had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what separated their decision, you know, what separated the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the fact that one tree was in God's will and the other tree was not in God's will, you know. And the devil would like you to forget what God's will is. He would like you to forget, you know, the fact that it's not so much of you doing something that's a bad thing, but that, you know, he would like you to not being God's will. That's his main focus for each and every one of us. So knowledge is not enough, you know. And what we behold, we become. With all the influences that we have like rappers and singers like, you know, Trey Songz and Beyonce that promote sex, that promote us not to do God's will, to go against what God tells us to do. Right now, you know, like having sex before marriage and things of that nature. These songs, these things that promote these things, these deceive us. These are things that you're taking in and you're becoming it. You behold what you behold, you become. So my advice would be to the youth today is to behold good things. Whenever you're faced in life with that decision, the decision, one is either in God's will and one is not in God's will, to choose God's will, choose the greater decision, choose the tree of life, eat from the tree of life daily rather than the tree that is not in God's will.
Exactly. Thank you so much for that, because some young people are listening and there is a choice, and we have a choice to either live a godly life or live a, you know, Satan life. And, you know, although no matter everybody thinks that if you're intellectual or you do know, you have a lot of knowledge. Knowledge is power, but what knowledge are you achieving? What knowledge are you putting into your mind? Could it be the knowledge of the Lord or the knowledge that was offered at the Garden of Eden by Satan? You will be all knowledgeable. So I'm going to place you on, we're going to take a little break. Before we go on the break, I'm going to ask you a question. Give us some examples on how God is blessing you, and then we'll put you on hold here as we go on this pause. We're going to listen to a really kind of one of my favorite songs, and it's by Lisa Pia, You Will Win Favor, and it's an amazing tune. So we'll be right back with Angela DeGeer.
Hey, Vivian.
Lisa Pierre, a little hip hop there for a moment. Kind of that's a Tuesday kind of for under Ruthie, but I love to listen to that. You Will Win Favor. You know, goes with if we obey with Angela Brown, which is the first song that we hear each time that we tune in. and win favor. Those are the two things that I love. When we obey, we win favor. If we obey, and that's the thing, that we're living in a society that we don't have to obey because we are in control of our destiny. And that is a lie, and that's a lie that Satan has given the young at heart. So we are back with Angela DeGere, and the last question that we were asking was, give us some example as to how God is blessing you. And I think you were mentioning one time about a certain fund or something that please explain
scholarship.
What you were saying. Yeah, scholarship. So tell us, how is he blessing
yes.
you?
Oh man, the Lord has just been blessing me with so much. Just even my experiences. I just want to touch up on one experience. One time was when I was in the pool, in the caves with Dr. Paul. He's a science teacher, and the Lord has just been blessing me with just showing me his lessons through nature, his object lessons. And he's shown me how, you know, the world is like the cave, you know, and we are like flashlights in the cave. And, the longer we stay in the cave, you know, the more our eyes get accustomed to the darkness, accustomed to the cave, you know. But when we stay in the cave so long, when we go out, you know, to the light, you know, it burns our eyes. It's hard. It gets harder the longer we stay in the cave. And he's just been showing me so much things. But one experience was the scholarship that I did win over this semester. I was praying because I owed the school $5,000. And I didn't know how I was going to get this money. And I had to go to school the next semester. So I was praying. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I was tempted to go work over the break. I was tempted to go with the LE program and, you know, try to raise money for my tuition. But the Lord said, don't do that. He said, I want you to go home, Angela, and just enjoy yourself. Trust me. I called you to ministry. I have you. You know, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But I started telling myself questions, you know, things like, you know, but God helps those that help themselves. And, you know, but the Lord was telling me, don't worry, Angela, trust me. And I believe that's one of the greatest lessons we'll learn in our Christian experience with God is to trust him, you know. Every moment, whatever God gives you, trust him enough to give it back, you know, everything, just trust God. So basically, I went home and I was spending time with my family, and we had a great time. But while I was there, I made it my duty, you know, to just pray each and every day. I made it a commitment to God, and I was like, I prayed every morning and night about my clearing. I said, Lord, I really want you to clear me for next semester. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just need you, you know. And while I was over during the break, I was applying for United Negro College Fund scholarships. And when I saw these UNCF scholarships, I saw one for poetry. And I've been doing poetry for all my young years. And I said, what? And that was it. That, you know, it just said you had to have an interest in poetry, and it was $5,000. I said, what? Okay, Lord. And I said, is this mine? Is this how you're going to pay for my tuition, Lord? And he said, yes, go get it. So I said, wow. I applied for it and everything, and I was like, Lord. And I started calling the lady at the UNCF. And she was telling me, okay, I got to send some poems to her. So I sent her two poems and things of that nature. And I was just praying about it. And I saw some other scholarships that I applied for, but those were scholarships I wasn't really worrying about. This was the scholarship I knew the Lord was giving me. So when I got back to school and everything, you know, I called the lady, and I was calling her, like, you know, continually over the break. And when I got back to school, by the time I got back to school and I called her and I said, you know what, I need a clear for this semester and everything, she said, don't worry, we already sent the money off, you have your award letter, you're cleared. But she wouldn't tell me how much money was given through the scholarship. So
okay.
when I I got my award letter. It showed $4,500. And I said, praise God, you know, I'm still clear, you know, and everything. But so I didn't really owe the school much money, but I still owed them like $500, you know. So I was like, oh, praise God, I'm clear for the semester and everything. But that wasn't enough, you know. The Lord gave me another scholarship, a scholarship that I wasn't even thinking of. It was for community service. And that scholarship was for $3,000. So you had the $4,500 with the $3,000. That was $7,500 altogether. And this showed me that, you know, God is able. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above
Amen.
All you can ask or imagine. God is amazing. And he's just been giving me these experiences. I just had an experience just recently with my loans. With the extra money that was I made over this from the scholarships, you know, I told them to send some money back to my loans because I took out $6,500 in loans. So I told them to send back the money and everything, send back some for some of my loans, but I was still owed like a partial amount for my loans, and I don't know what happened with the loan process or how it goes or anything. Or maybe that they may refund you a certain amount of money after paying off your loan or whatnot. But at the end of the day, when I checked to see my loans, it said my loans are paid in full. I don't owe anything for my loans this year. So I didn't take out loans freshman year. I didn't take out loans. I took out loans this year, but they're paid in full. So now I'm looking at everything for, you know, a brighter future, everything. So God has just been doing so many experiences. He's given me so many experiences with him. You know,
oh,
so
wow. Amazing. Amazing. So you're debt-free.
Yes, I'm debt-free.
You, ladies and gentlemen, and the youth that are out there that are listening to the show, we have Angela DeGuerre. He's just showing us how God is working among the people. And although he might not come when we ask him, he's always on time. Always on time. You know? And
that's
what, you know, it's a great, see, this is a testimony that people that are out there that says, I cannot go to school because of this, or I can't. You know what? Let go. Let God. I know it's easier said than done, but it is an actual fact. Hey, listen, you know what? I have heard from your father accolades on his son, and as I started the show, you know, your father was just talking so highly of you, and he just loves you. So obviously he is proud of you going to Oakwood. How are your parents and family, you know, your mom and the rest of the family feeling about you going to seminary school?
Well, a lot of family members, you know, my immediate family, you know, they're more supportive of me. But, you know, when it comes to my outer family, they're very, you know, very pessimistic. They're very like, you know, they're like, are you sure you're called? And they'll say things like, you know, pastors don't make money. Why don't you go to do nursing or go to do something where you get money, you know, so we can, you know, get out of the projects and things of that nature. And, you know, so my family is very divided when it comes to joining the ministry, you know. But I'm so happy that God has given me the confirmations I need. God has shown me, he's given me the experiences to know that he's real, to know that he's called me, and to know that, you know, there is nothing else in this world that is worth it. There is nothing else that I can feel like I could do and be, you know, and just feel complete in my life because he's shown me that this is my purpose.
And thank you for sharing that as well, because, you know, working for the Lord might not be making an exuberant amount of money, but you know what? The retirement is out of this world, literally. It is out of this world. When we retire to his kingdom. Okay,
yes.
And so I'd rather retire into his kingdom than retire in this kingdom, okay? His kingdom or this kingdom, that's where it comes down to. So I'm just thankful that you have chosen, and we'll be putting an eye on you to follow you through your path, your journey in the call that the Lord has given you. And, you know, at the Reborn Identity, we not only not follow you, but just if you ever need anything, you know, just put the word out there, and we will make it our ambition to help you as much as possible. God knows why he has you in that path. Now, my last question, what was the response of your friends that you were going to school at the time with? Did they continue your same path, or did they move on to something else, or are they still within the church family?
You said the students that I went to school with?
Exactly, that you were doing freestyle with and all that.
Oh, well, the students that I went to school with, we were all in public school, so we've taken our different paths. I know some of the friends that I was friends with died. You know, one died recently. His name was Joseph Battle, and he's a freestyle and everything, and he passed away. He was shot, you know, and a lot of us, we went different paths. I met one of my friends, and one of the ones that I was, he's working now, you know. Some have had children, you know, so many different, we've taken many different paths. But, you know, I praise God that he's taken me to my path. He's taken me off of that road to destruction, and he's led me to his light of life.
And we will pray for those friends that were with you, the ones that remain so young, and yet he was killed, he was around your age, 19, is that correct?
Yes.
A life snuff.
I think he was one year older than me. Yeah.
It's still just a thought that's still young, you know. So, Angelo, any final words that you would like to speak to our listeners, let our listeners know?
Well, my final words would be, with every light that God has given you, with every light that God gives you, walk in it. Do not delay your obedience, because delayed obedience is disobedience. Do not reject his light that he's given you. With every opportunity that God has given you, not only for ministry, not only for everything, but everything he reveals to you, work on it. Walk in that light. Seek God. He says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. You know, ask and it will be given to you. God wants a relationship with each and every one of us. God wants to have you experience him in no other way, in a way that is unimaginable. And in order for you to experience God that way, you must walk in his light. So that's my encouragement. Walk in the light that God has given you, and he will direct your path.
Well, thank you, Mr. Going to Be One Day Pastor Daguerre. I say thank you for accepting the light, following the light, and being led by Jesus Christ. For those who have been listening, if you caught the tail end of this segment, you can always archive, pull it up from our archives. Tonight we had Angelo Daguerre, theology major from Oakwood University. Angelo, thank you so much for being on our show this evening. May God continue to bless you. Keep your eyes always focused on him. And always remember that no matter what happens, God is still in control. Thank you for showing us that this evening. Have a wonderful week ahead. Good night.
Thank you, and God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, you know, for those people that don't understand, when you feel compelled to follow something that is contrary to the world, be it known that it's not your own doing. It could be the Holy Spirit. And why? Because those are things that the Holy Spirit does. He puts people and he sheds light and he sheds situations and he places us in situations that we can actually start seeing that there is a calling. And you know what? That is
thoughts to consider.
Let's consider that. Consider the call. Consider the light. God is softly and gently calling us to come home. Are we paying attention? I hope so. You don't have to be young and foolish. You can choose Christ today. Today, this very day. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. If you have been inundated, or if you've not only inundated by world's trap, you know, problems, perplexities, if you have had problems with the occult, drugs, prostitution, extra relationships, children out of a wedlock, why don't you come to the Lord? He makes you pure. You need to come and confess to the Lord and begin a relationship with him. There are a lot of young people that are dying. And we're not talking about the war in other countries. We're talking about the war that's happening since Satan decided to declare war on Jesus in his kingdom and coming to this earth to start a war on his people, on his children. There are two roads to take. It's up to you. I've been there. And you know what? I'm glad that the Lord has called me home. Next week, next Sunday, we will have our regular program, of course, author Cindy Tuttle. She's the author of Joining the Dance of Life. It's going to be a very interesting segment since she's not only an author of one book, several books, and she works with, well, she'll let you know, but she works with a lot of individuals who have a lot of, a great degree of mental issues and capacities. So we're going to tune in next Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, everyone. May you be blessed. Remember, please keep yourselves educated in the Word, that no one may deceive you. Do good unto others and keep your eyes focused on the only one who needs to be focused on, which is Jesus Christ. Until next time, God richly take care of you and your families. And remember, you're not alone. Email us at You can do that. Email us at either prayers@holdyourpeace.com or prayers@thereborn.identity.com if you have any questions or prayer requests or even want to know more about Cassio Jones, the challenge that we start on the 10th. Have a good night.
The Reborn Identity Blog Talk Radio was brought to you by the following sponsors. Rushing Media, a full-service public relations marketing and strategy company. Creative Network Solutions, creating possibilities for the future of your business. Pillow Enterprises, a professional services company, serving the needs of our individuals with notary, title abstract, insurance, real estate, and photography services. And Hype Seminars, preparing, exploring, achieving the power of choice.